Green Bay. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Talks in Egypt begin tomorrow, centered on the U.S. proposal to end fighting between Israel and Hamas, a core element, the release of all remaining hostages held by Hamas. Secretary of State Marco Rubio tells ABC's This Week.
This is not something that can drag out. We cannot be here 3 weeks from now still discussing, you know, the logistics of how hostages are going to be released. That has to happen very quickly in order for the rest of this deal to gain momentum.
The Department of Homeland Security says two people have been arrested for trying to attack border agents in Chicago yesterday. One of the two is a woman who was shot and wounded by agents after she allegedly tried to ram them with her car. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois said the Trump administration wants to federalize 300 National Guard troops, while a federal judge in Oregon blocked the Trump administration's plan to send troops to Portland. And authorities in Montgomery, Alabama, investigating a shooting that left two dead and 12 hurt. This is ABC News. Fox Sports analyst Mark Sanchez suffered a stab wound in an altercation in downtown Indianapolis early Saturday, but the former NFL quarterback is now facing criminal charges, as ABC's Ike Ajachi explains.
Investigators with the Indianapolis Police Department say Sanchez was initially hospitalized as the stabbing victim, but then later officers arrested the former quarterback for his alleged role in the incident. Police say Sanchez, who is still hospitalized, faces misdemeanor charges, including battery, unlawful entry of a motor vehicle, and public intoxication, adding all involved parties have been identified and no further suspects are being sought.
Coal is going on sale in the coming days as U.S. officials will sell 600 million tons from publicly owned reserves in Montana and Wyoming. It's the government's largest coal sale in more than a decade, but demand is in question. Two plants near those sites both plan to quit burning coal over the next decade. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right now. But,
what about, what does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox say? Or Gondenthal?
Oh, those are terrible
That's
songs.
Another one? Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. The contested case hearing over Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline has concluded in Madison, where environmental advocates and the Bad River Band are challenging state permits for the project. Farmers' advocates warn that denying the permits could cut off a vital propane supply for rural communities. Opponents say the pipeline threatens waterways, wetlands, and tribal lands. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Environmental groups and the Bad River Tribe are challenging permits the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued to Enbridge in November for rerouting the pipeline. Nate Zimdars with Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation emphasizes what's at stake for farmers who depend on propane, a byproduct from Line 5.
Oftentimes, our farmers are forgotten about in conversations like this. Just think about the food that's getting put on your table. It's got to come from somewhere. It comes from our farmers who are working really hard during this time of year and are dependent on that energy.
He emphasizes farmers are already experiencing the strains of the federal government shutdown and difficult economic conditions. Opponents of the pipeline are just as determined, saying rerouting Line 5 would be detrimental to the environment, increasing water contamination and threatening cultural resources. Without permit approval, the line would have to shut down, and Zimdars says there are currently no viable alternatives. While much of the opposition has focused on the environmental impacts, Zimdars believes the DNR has conducted thorough studies to mitigate these concerns. The project would affect about 200 waterways and more than 100 acres of wetlands. An administrative law judge is expected to issue a final decision in the case. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny, breezy, and very warm once again with high temperatures in the mid-80s. For tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms developing after midnight, lows right around 60. On Monday, scattered showers and cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Current temperature, 67 degrees.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Multicultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley and we are going to have a lot of fun today. I'm here with my dear friend, Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks at your cervix. Dr. Hanks, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to see you. And I just feel so honored that you asked me to be here today.
Well, we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, man. Do we? We always do, though. You know, like there's always so much excitement going on in our world. Usually not of the good variety, but we try to, you know, keep our heads up and keep fighting for our patients, right? Like that's what keeps driving us and keeps us coming back to this.
And what makes it so necessary for us to be connected with each other and support each other. And
absolutely,
we understand each other, like we speak the same language, we have the same experiences. And these experiences, especially recently, have been pretty challenging.
Yeah, we called ourselves the OBGYN sorority in residency.
Yeah, it is like that. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking earlier. So on the day that we're taping is the day that Planned Parenthood announced that they are going to temporarily pause abortion care in Wisconsin. And we were just talking about how we woke up this morning and saw this headline and we're like, what just happened? How?
It felt very reminiscent of how I woke up after the Dobbs decision. And we had a little more heads up about that, but it still felt very jarring. I had just moved back to Wisconsin. I had a 3-month-old, just started my new job here. And it just feels heavy. It feels like, I know that my patients are going to be asking me questions that I'm not going to know the answers to. And as a doctor, we generally like to know.
Right.
You know, and not, you know, there are questions I've been asked before that I don't know. But in general, we want to be able to give our patients good guidance. And right now, I feel very like a fish out of water. I know I'm not going to have great answers. And that's scary.
It's unnecessary because we actually do know the answers. We know the right medical answers for our patients. But in this political environment, it is so paralyzing. You can't function because the thing that you know your patient needs and that your patient is seeking, we can't do that for them in many cases here in Wisconsin. And it's further complicated by where they live. So you're in Madison, I'm in Green Bay, but what if you live in Hayward or Wausau? And what if you're already struggling to pay for food and you can't afford gas and you can't travel? Like how do you get your birth control and your information and if you need access to abortion care? How?
I want to be very clear for those that don't understand that like these laws that affect our patients, it is about taking away bodily autonomy. It is about not helping people that are born with uteruses. Like I don't care like the nuances, like that is what it comes down to. And you mentioned people having to travel and things like that. When we weren't providing abortions after the Dobbs decision for those 15 months, I had a patient who had a anomaly of the fetus. She needed to terminate. She was a little bit further on because we didn't know until later, which is very common in those situations. She had to go out of state to get her termination. And because she was sitting in a car for so long, she was at risk for getting a blood clot because she was pregnant. She was sitting in a car and she'd had a surgery and she got a blood clot. And she had to go to the emergency room and had to be on long-term medication, essentially blood thinners. This is harmful to our patients. Like, I don't know how else. Like, these are real patients that are being harmed by this legislation. And it's not about saving a buck here or there. It is harmful to our patients. That I just want to really drive that home. And it really infuriates me because this is what you and I went into because we wanted to help this patient population. And it feels like being a doctor this day and age, we are just having roadblock after roadblock to do the right thing for our patients. And it's...
Can you imagine what it would be like to run a clinic, to be a doctor in a place where your patient comes to you and they say, this is what I need. I'm having a problem. And you talk through it and you do all the diagnostic things and you come up with a solution. And your patient says, this is what I would like to do. And you say, I can do that. Let me help you. And you do that with them and they're grateful. And then you get to follow up with them and you get to take actual true care of them, not just at that moment, but long-term, that relationship is there. That's just common sense. That is how it should be. But women's health is not like that in this country. And increasingly, it's getting less and less like that.
I think you just described like a cardiologist appointment or right. An orthopedic surgeon. Like that's their reality. And I think that that's what's hard for us is that when we talk to at colleagues that are not in OBGYN, you know, friends from medical school, for example, I'm still close with a lot of my medical school classmates. And when I tell them some of the things I have to deal with, and they're doctors, they're in this, and they're just like the faces that they make, they're like, what? You have to do what? You have to deal with what? Like, I don't even read the news half the time. And I'm like, well, I have to because it affects my job.
Could you imagine an orthopedic surgeon being afraid that they would go to jail because they did a knee replacement for somebody? But that is our reality. That is our reality.
Yeah. And we're, you know, and I don't want to say we're happy to do it, but we are going to do it because we went into this because we're passionate about this care. And you know, I get how there are some people that are burned out in our profession and have to take a step back. And I mean, I think that's part of this too, is trying to burn us out, to make us tired. But
people like you and me, we have the opposite reaction. We're like, oh, okay.
Now what?
It's true. And it's really made a lot of us, especially the new legion of OBGYNs who are coming forward, better advocates, smarter, more willing to speak up because our patients need us. Our patients don't know that this is their reality. They just think they're going to get care until they come to us and we have to give them the bad news that politicians are robbing them of their care. And, you know, could we just like pivot a little bit and talk about Tylenol and pregnancy? Because here's the thing. This is the thing that gets me the most. First of all, Tylenol in pregnancy does not cause autism. So now having said that,
a quick sign. Causation.
Yes.
Like understanding how a scientific study works took me years of postgraduate study.
There are different types of studies and they give you different information and they take a long time and they're complicated. And sometimes they say one thing and sometimes they say another thing. And it depends on who you study and where you study and how you study. There's a lot.
Yes. So I just want to throw that out there. Like, these studies that have been brought up that have said that there is a link are low quality, low evidence, didn't actually make a connection between Tylenol and autism. Because I think that it's important for us to say that, to say that, like, what we understand, that there is no link. You know, we can't say necessarily there's no data, because there is this data, but it's crappy data.
Well, and some studies show an association, and other studies show there's no association, but there's no study that shows a cause. There's no study that looked at, does Tylenol cause autism? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to say that. And I think it's also really important to say, we also want a cure for autism, but it has to Absolutely. Be done with good science. You can't use junk science and cherry pick, because then you get a junk answer. So you really have to follow the science and be objective and be humbled by the science, not control it to fit your narrative. Yeah.
So anyway, what were you going to say about Tylenol?
So here's the thing that gets me. Watching Donald Trump talk about Tylenol, which is also called acetaminophen, for those of you who are paying attention. He was saying, don't take it. Tough it out. That was the thing. Tough it out. And all I could think was, you would never tell a pregnant woman to tough it out. You have absolutely no idea what people go through in their pregnancies. Some people have easier pregnancies. Some people have grueling pregnancies, but almost nobody gets out of pregnancy without having pain, discomfort, worry, stress, whatever. So to tell people to tough it out, first of all, the Trump administration wants you to get pregnant and have lots of babies, but then they want you to tough it out and have pain and not be able to treat your symptoms, which is dangerous. Then they want you to also deliver your baby, but not in a rural hospital, because they're going away, because they're defunding Medicaid. And by God, do not get an abortion or any postpartum care, especially if you live in Wisconsin. We're not funding postpartum care. So good luck, ladies. Get on that baby train.
It's giving Handmaid's Tale vibes. Couple thoughts on that is that I, to have a very privileged white male stand up there and tell women or people with uteruses to tough it out, like, made me sick to my stomach. Second of all, yes, we use Tylenol for pain, and yes, it is the safest thing in pregnancy for pain. But what really got me was when he said, oh, there's no downside to not taking it, because that is 100% not true.
Correct.
If you have a fever in early pregnancy, we know from good data that high fevers, high temperatures in a maternal body is associated with neural tube defects. Okay, so that's why we tell patients not to get in hot tubs when they're early pregnant, not to, have untreated fevers. So him saying that is just so wrong and harmful.
Right.
That's what really, I was like, he's just skirting right over that. And since when does the president of the United States stand up and make a statement like that? Like, do not take this medication. There's no downside to it. I was like, who the hell do you think you are? Like, and why are you not saying, talk to your doctor about this in these situations? Because not only can you not pronounce the medication that you're giving these wildly inaccurate statements about, not even, you just skipped over all the doctor, advice, and that, again, that patient-doctor relationship that is so essential to the care that we give, it just threw it all out the window. And it was offensive and infuriating and every other adjective.
Yes, yes.
We are fired up today. I'm sorry. You caught me.
I don't think we talk enough about the patient-doctor relationship. It is therapeutic, and it's so... underrated. I think we think about doctoring as, I went there, I had a problem, I got a pill and I'm better. But when you know your doctor and when your doctor knows you, there is a therapeutic angle to that as well. And we have a lot more to talk about, but first we have to take a little bit of a break. So we're hanging out right now. This is Dr. Laura Hanks. She's in Madison. She's Dr. Hanks at your cervix. How can people find you? I love that.
I recently, I'm going to show my age here. I'm a little old. I just discovered TikTok.
Oh, boy. And your TikTok handle is?
Dr. Hanks at your cervix. Yeah. And my Instagram handle also Dr. Hanks at your cervix. So come check me out. We're still figuring it out, having some fun videos and trying to get some good medical information out there.
Yeah. And it's about having the conversations, getting in good information, sharing advice, asking questions, and also humanizing doctors. I loved that piece of it. So we're going to humanize ourselves a little bit more when we come back from this break. We're going to do some myth busting. And Dr. Hanks, are we going to talk about trans care?
You know, I think we should. I think that's an important patient population. And we can talk a little bit about what that means and what that looks like in your OBGYN office.
Sounds great. All right, when we come back, this is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay. 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and I'm here with Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks, at your cervix. And we're just chatting about all things OBGYN. If you've ever wondered what OBGYNs talk about, welcome. You brought up during the break that we were talking beforehand about having a relationship with your doctor, but you took that to a whole different level, didn't you?
Yeah. So, you know, when you live in a small town, you're bound to have friends that get pregnant. A lot of time, I've had a lot of really good conversations with people. They say, who should I have as my doctor? I feel like they kind of will tiptoe around, like, if it's me or not. So I try to take the initiative of, like, I would be honored to be your doctor. However, I try not to do that because I don't want to, like, make people feel weird. But I'm like, I respect that this is a very vulnerable time in your life. And this is a very important time in your life. And if you feel like our relationship is, you'd rather just keep that separate from the doctor-patient relationship, I honestly am totally fine with that because I have been pregnant and I get how hard that can be. And I understand that people, you know, sometimes don't want that. I'm lucky that I work with a lot of fantastic people and just I'll have them go there. But recently I had a couple of my friends that did want to deliver with me and we all went to the same CrossFit gym. So we would work out together and it was kind of nice because I'd be like, actually, I don't want you to do that movement. Like,
and they weren't like, I maybe should have chosen a different doctor.
They loved it. They told me to my face that they loved it. And then it was just such a cool experience because I ended up, the stars aligned and I could be there for their deliveries. And so the local news came and we did a little piece about exercise and pregnancy because I really like, it's not about me. I wanted to like highlight these awesome ladies that like were working out before and then working out after having a baby, and kind of bust the myth that like some people hear that will say you can't work out in pregnancy, and that's just not true. You should exercise. But if you weren't running marathons before, you shouldn't train for a marathon during. You know what I mean? Like, you need to tailor to what your body is used to. Like, you shouldn't, you know, be doing more than you were before. And so figuring out that and working with your doctor, your physical therapist, whatever. And at our gym, the gym owner like has taken a class on postpartum and pregnancy care and has
fabulous.
Yeah. And he like runs idea. He'll send me videos all the time. So we talk a lot about it, which is like really rad. Like, it's a very cool relationship. So that's CrossFit Sanctify out on the east side of Madison for anyone that's in the area and interested. It's just a great, great gym, and really can like work with you during pregnancy, after pregnancy, or not related to pregnancy at all.
It is so important, though. And I think exercise in pregnancy is one of those myths that needs to be busted. And I love how you use your life in your experience and your relationships to teach people something. What myths do we need to bust in pregnancy? Like, here's one that came up. One of our fans asked this question. Is it possible that you can get pregnant during your period? Dr. Hanks?
Yes. Yes, it is.
How is that possible?
You know, I was thinking before this, I wish I had my, in my office, I have, you know, the uterus, and like, I'm such a visual learner. I'm just like, well, look at my diagram. So eggs come from the ovaries. And then the way I kind of describe the anatomy is then they go down the road of the fallopian tube to park in the garage of the uterus.
Nice.
And that's where the fun stuff happens, where sperm can meet and you can get pregnant. Now, not everyone has a normal cycle of have bleeding, and then 28 days later they have bleeding again, and then they somewhere in the middle they ovulate, which means the egg comes from the ovary and you can get pregnant. Some people have very regular periods, and they can be, you know, 45 days or every 3 months, and then it's very hard to know when they ovulated or when an egg was released. And so they can have random spotting and also be ovulating at the same time. So a big myth for people that know the term PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, I still have patients that I've seen that are like, well, a doctor told me many years ago, I have PCOS, so I can't get pregnant, and they're not under control. And that's like the face I make. I'm like, you can absolutely get pregnant with PCOS. It's harder because the ovulation time is a little different. But yeah, that's very confusing.
Well, yeah, and there are two reasons why people on PCOS, I mean, two fundamental reasons, might need birth control. One is to prevent pregnancy. One is you need something to make sure that your periods are either regular or managed, because having those irregular periods, that puts you in a bad situation, doesn't it?
Yes, it can increase your risk of endometrial cancer or like pre-malignant conditions. So it is really important to talk to your doctor about that and having some sort of protection of the uterine lining. The way that I heard on a podcast a couple years ago, like how to describe PCOS, if you want to go there, but it's kind of like the you know, it's everything's hormonally related. So it's basically like the hormones that come from the brain that tell the ovaries to ovulate and continue having a cycle and then a period. It's like there's a rave going on. And so like, ovaries are like, hey, are we supposed to ovulate? And like, and the rest of the body's like, and then like, they're like, I don't know, let's just like throw out an egg now. It's just like, and I actually use that with patients a lot, and they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, but like birth control pills are like the like Debbie Down. They're like, they like calm down the rave and kind of just like make it so it's a more of that like cycle, that, you know, that pretty graph that we see in med school and makes our brains explode, just this ups and downs of hormones, that is more of what we're looking for.
It's all those different hormones doing different things at different times. It's like a symphony where these instruments come in here and those instruments come in there, and when it all comes together and you've practiced it, it's perfect and it's beautiful. But when something gets messed up, it's very messed up, and it definitely can cause problems in the future, including unplanned pregnancy and endometrial cancer. And that's why it's so important to make sure that your periods are regular. And I think a lot of people think that if their periods are irregular, that that is their regular, but that's not okay. So it is really important to know if your periods are irregular, talk to your doctor, get it evaluated. We likely have a solution for you. Hey, we got to take a break. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Laura Hanks. She is Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly. It's two OBGYNs inviting you to our conversation. We'll be back. This is the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Talks in Egypt begin tomorrow, centered on the U.S. proposal to end fighting between Israel and Hamas, a core element, the release of all remaining hostages held by Hamas. Secretary of State Marco Rubio tells ABC's This Week,
"This is not something that can drag out. We cannot be here 3 weeks from now still discussing, you know, the logistics of how hostages are going to be released. That has to happen very quickly in order for the rest of this deal to gain momentum."
The Department of Homeland Security says two people have been arrested for trying to attack border agents in Chicago yesterday. One of the two is a woman who was shot and wounded by agents after she allegedly tried to ram them with her car. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois said the Trump administration wants to federalize 300 National Guard troops, while a federal judge in Oregon blocked the Trump administration's plan to send troops to Portland. And authorities in Montgomery, Alabama, investigating a shooting that left two dead and 12 hurt. This is ABC News.
The Brewers bury the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Cubs 9-3. The Cubs' Michael Busch led off with a solo home run shot. Milwaukee responded with a six-run rally in the bottom of the first and never looked back. Freddy Peralta lasted until midway through the sixth with 95 pitches, giving up two solo home run shots. His nine strikeouts ties a Brewers team record for most strikeouts in a playoff game since Don Sutton and two others. Game two, Monday night, just after 8 o'clock, Quinn Priester set to get the start. College football, the Badgers made a change at quarterback, starting Hunter Simmons. They scored on the opening drive, but that was about it as Wisconsin lost at Michigan today, 24-10. Luke Fickell.
That's tough. I don't care on either side of the ball. I don't know if they had a 13-play drive, you know, and I know we did on the first series, but we have to be able to find ways. The difference in a ball game is some big plays.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny, breezy, and very warm once again with high temperatures in the mid-80s. For tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms developing after midnight, lows right around 60. On Monday, scattered showers and cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30 seconds.
I'm giving you right now.
But, what does the fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what does the fox say? Or Gondenthal?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matinier of Matinier on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and my guest is Dr. Laura Hanks from Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. And we are talking about all things women's health. There's no question that we will not address. And if you missed the beginning of our conversation, please check it out on anywhere where you get your podcasts, including, you know, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, all those places. And, you know, you can find me at Dr. Kristen Lierley on all the socials. And Dr. Hanks, how can people find you on the socials?
I am currently on TikTok and Instagram at Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix.
Adorable. Not your service, but your cervix.
Even if you don't have one.
Yeah, right. It's for everybody. And when we left off with the last segment, we were talking about periods. And you were dying to make a point about periods that I'm so glad you were dying to make. Take it away, Dr. Hanks.
So we were talking about the importance of controlling hormones, especially if you have a PCOS or have irregular periods, and how important that is for protection of the endometrial lining, which is the lining of the uterus. But I have a lot of patients that say, well, don't I have to have a period every month? Like, doesn't the blood get stuck somewhere or something like that? But actually, you don't. You can take birth control pills or other forms of contraception and use that constantly and not have a period. And it's not like the blood is getting stuck somewhere. It's actually going back to that line. I feel like we're talking about endometrium a lot. Going back to that lining of the uterus, when that's nice and thin, there's nothing to bleed, which is pretty rad. So again, as people born with uteruses, as we've been reminded by the US government that we're supposed to suck it up and deal with these kind of things, turns out science has found a way that you don't have to do that. You can live period free. Another great form of that is an IUD with progesterone. We have IUDs with copper and ones that have progesterone in them. There's a couple different flavors of those. You can talk to your doctor about the best one for you, but it goes inside the uterus, gives a low level of progesterone, keeps that lining nice and thin, and people either have very light periods or no periods at all, which is pretty rad if you ask me.
Girl, I love my IUD. It was yes. I'm not having to deal with a period every month was amazing. And it doesn't work for everybody. Some people still have the periods, but for most people, periods get at least significantly lighter. And heavy periods is one of the most common reasons why people come and talk to us.
Should we talk about IUD and pain control? That seems to be a big...
Are you reading my mind right now?
Seems like such a natural way to go. I get so angry when I hear about patients that weren't offered pain control. And I'm like, find a new doctor. You know, like I get that coming into the OB-GYN is not everyone's favorite. It's not, you know, people don't like to come see us. A lot of people, I have a lot of patients that like, I really love it. But I get that it's kind of an awkward place, right? So you should feel comfortable with your doctor first and foremost. And I know personally, like I said before, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And if you're not comfortable with me, find another doctor. I would never be upset about that.
Yep.
But when we're talking about IUDs, great form of birth control, the progesterone IUD, great form of uterine lining protection, that endometrium we keep talking about, and also helping with heavy bleeding. If you're someone that gets really heavy periods, or if you just don't want a period at all, that it's great, but it's an IUD.
And pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So coming back to pain. So IUD stands for intrauterine device, meaning that it does need to go into the uterus. It's really about this big. It's like maybe an inch or two. It's like people think it's like this huge, crazy thing.
But your uterus is only as big as your fist.
Yeah.
And it has to fit inside. So it's tiny.
That's why we call it a cuterus.
I do call it a cuterus.
But
we
you
love
know,
our jobs.
Whenever you put something inside said uterus, the uterus is a big muscle and it tries to contract down, and that's uncomfortable. IUDs going in are uncomfortable. So when you talk to your doctor, there are things we can do. Absolutely, ibuprofen. Everyone that can take ibuprofen should take ibuprofen beforehand. I have a lot of patients that are like, that's not going to do anything. But really, that ibuprofen, the way that it works, and we don't need to get into the mechanism of action, but it is really good for uterine cramping pain. So definitely take that before. We also have something called a cervical block, which is where we can inject a local anesthetic like lidocaine with epinephrine or just plain lidocaine right next to the cervix. That's not going to take the pain away, but we do have studies that show that it does decrease people's pain scores. We also, if you're really anxious, you could talk to your doctor about some sort of anti-anxiety medication. Again, not going to take the pain away, but will just make you a little bit more calm for the procedure. Definitely have to have a driver if you're going to go that route. And if all that still sounds like something that you're just isn't going to work for you, I take patients to the OR for this procedure sometimes. Sometimes you just need to go to sleep. And it's not fully asleep, like full, like tube down the throat. Like you're asleep enough that you can protect your own airway. The procedure takes honestly like 30 seconds.
It's so fast.
I have so many patients that are like, oh, you're done. You know, it is very quick. And it's just such a great thing. So I just want another miss. I guess this should be our missed busting segment. Like we are pro pain control for IUDs. So please ask your doctor about it and what's right for you, because we have things that are out there that can help.
And also the psychological piece, a huge part. Everybody's pain is different. And you know what your pain threshold is. And I think a lot of people experience pain because they've experienced trauma in their past or sexual abuse. And all of that comes up when you go see your gynecologist.
Absolutely.
So it's really important to have that conversation so that we can do a gentle exam, a thoughtful exam, so that you don't feel like a victim of your exam, but you are a partner with your exam. Before I do any sort of an exam, I'll say, you are in control here. So if at any point you want me to stop,
absolutely,
just say the word and I'll stop.
You say it and we're done.
We're done. But yeah. I think a lot of people haven't had that experience because they were, you know, they didn't used to train us the way that they do now. And
absolutely,
we didn't used to speak up as women. We just kind of took it. We toughed it out, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
We did. Toughed it out.
We did. I love what you said. Like, I try to talk about like the ambiance of the room. Like if you want lighter lights, if you want your partner or a friend to be with you, if you want a playlist.
I love the playlist. My IUD playlist. I've had patients do that before.
I had a patient recently that like, I saw them in the morning and then there was a scheduling mishap. And so we ended up doing it in the afternoon. I said, go home, make a playlist. And she came back. She came back in our playlist, and then of course some, you know me, somehow Taylor Swift came up.
Uh-huh.
Her playlist was "My OB/GYN is a Swiftie." She titled it. So we had a great old time.
Oh, I bet she was like, "No, one more song," and you were like, "I've got more patients to see. You have to go now."
And the procedure, I mean, we didn't even get through half a song. That's how fast it is, too. You know, like I think she had this whole long playlist for me, and I was like, "Well, you know."
As long as we're busting myths, let's bust a really sensitive topic, and I know that this is one that you and I both care deeply about. Transgender care. We see patients who are seeking this kind of care. We have people in our lives who are of the transgender community, and they're really under attack right now. There is a move in Project 2025 to eliminate transgender people. So they need our protection. They need our help right now. But I think that from a physician's perspective, there's this idea in normal society that transgender care means taking parts like surgery, taking parts away. But that's not actually true, is it?
No. No, and I think something that's really important for everyone to understand, especially healthcare providers, may that be nurse practitioners, our medical assistants that are rooming patients, the front desk staff. There's a huge study that looked at it's called the U.S. Transgender Survey. They sent it out to patients that identified as transgender and non-binary in 2015 and then again in 2022. And they got 92,000 responses. So it's a very like in-depth look at patient experiences. And it is a survey, so there's, you know, things that go along with that. But they found in 2015, they're still going through the 2022 data, but the 2015, that 25% of patients that identify as transgender or non-binary have had some sort of negative experience in the healthcare system. So that's 1 in 4 have had someone that misgendered them, that made them feel less, they felt that they were touched inappropriately, any of that. Anytime I have a patient that identifies as transgender or non-binary, I think about that stat before I walk in the room, is that 1 in 4 of those patients have had a negative experience. So it's so important to go in. And not only that, like you said, like they're under attack from the government being told that they're, you know, not real people. It's just, it's sick. So when I walk into the room, the first thing I say is that, hi, I'm Dr. Hanks. I use she, her pronouns. Can you tell me your name and pronouns? Or like, usually they'll do that. And it's like, you can just see this, like, you know, like this, that moment of like, okay. And it's that first interaction is just so important. And I really drive that home with my learners, my medical students and residents. I'm like, this is what you will say. And this is how you're going to create an environment where we can have a good conversation and take care of our patients.
And what does the conversation generally look like? Like how, when you do a first meeting with someone who is seeking this kind of care, are you immediately like, let's just do a whole bunch of surgery? Or what are the first steps? Because that's what politicians want us to believe, that that's all it is. But you and I know it's so much different than that.
Yeah, it's so much more. And I think what's also really frustrating, just the assumptions that like that we're doing surgery or throwing medications at people, or that, you know, we hear about this rapid onset change. And I actually was having a conversation. The person that watches our kids that I like love and is one of like a dear friend identifies as non-binary. And we were kind of talking about this the other night and they were saying like, yeah, I would love to have not woken up every day of my life feeling like I was born in the wrong body. Like that would have been great, but that's not my reality. And it just made me so sad. Like not only that they had to go through that, but then to be told that that's, they're doing it for some other reason or, oh, it's a trend, and, you know, and it's like, you have no idea the struggle that a lot of this patient population has gone through to get to my office, to then say like, this is what I'm thinking about. Like I'm interested in possibly hormones to help me fit into the body that I feel like I should have or be born into. And sometimes that involves surgery. Sometimes that involves medication. But a lot of times it just involves talking and listening and hearing where, you know, what they've been through and what, how can I help? I have never, ever met someone and right away started meds or right away gone to the OR. Like that's just not a thing. And that's not how we practice. It's building relationships. It's listening to our patients.
And it's all on the spectrum of care that we offer our patients, whether they are transgender or a lesbian or victims of sexual violence or whatever. It's so much about connecting with our patients and being able to provide them the care that they need. Hey, absolutely. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. I am here with Dr. Laura Hanks. She is Dr. Hanks at Your Cervix. We've been having this amazing talk about all the things that we get to talk about all the time, but today you get to be part of our conversation. When we come back, do you want to talk about sterilization and the amazing study that you guys did?
I would love to. Bring it full circle from our first part of our talk.
That's right. All right, come on back after this short break. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
It's time for Eye on the Community on WGBW, sponsored by Insight Eye Care, serving the Fox Valley since 1972 with comprehensive eye care services. Find them on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Their goal is to improve lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today. Now, here's what's happening in our area. The Great Pumpkin Train rides again. This National Railroad Museum treat includes a train ride to the Pumpkin Patch, where you can find your own pumpkin to take home. Live entertainment too, October 11th and 18th. And join the Green Bay Hot Cider Hustle Half Marathon and 5K on October 26th. After crossing the finish line, celebrate with a crisp caramel apple and warm mug of their signature hot cider. Register at wisconsinruns.com/Green Bay Hot Cider Hustle. This has been your Eye on the Community, brought to you by Insight Eye Care. If it's happening in the Green Bay area, it's on WGBW.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with my friend, Dr. Laura Hanks. Dr. Hanks at your cervix. And we are talking all things OBGYN. Welcome. Yeah, you may or may not want to be here for this conversation. I think you do, though. We've talked about periods. We've talked about the abortion environment. We've talked about trans care. Let's bring it full circle. Let's talk about sterilization. You guys did an incredible study about sterilization rates after the Dobbs decision. What did that study show?
So at our institution, right away after the Dobbs decision happened, we noticed anecdotally, a lot of patients asking for tubal sterilization, meaning removing their fallopian tubes, and a colloquially termed tying your tubes. So we thought, let's look at the data. Let's look at the charts. And we went back in the immediate year following the Dobbs decision, when we did not have access to abortions in Wisconsin, the rate of that procedure went up 106%.
Wait a minute. So that means it more than doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So as it turns out, and I would say the next step of our study would be to look closer at people's reasoning for that. But I will tell you what my patients said is, I'm scared. I'm scared about getting pregnant and not having the ability to get an abortion. I I heard a lot of patients that said, I'm in a same-sex relationship, but I have a history of sexual abuse, and I'm afraid that if I were to be raped, I would be forced to have a baby that I don't want. Many, many patients, and we saw the biggest uptick in people that had never been pregnant and were very young, like in their 20s. And
those are so hard.
They are hard, and there is a lot of counseling. We do not just go straight to the OR. There is a lot of counseling that goes into that. But it was very interesting to me. It was almost word for word. Each one of those patients specifically would say, ever since I had my first period, I knew I never wanted to be pregnant. And then they would always follow that up with, you can ask my mom. I always thought that was very interesting, because I'm like, well, I'm not going to ask your mom. But it's interesting that, like, you are so sure of that. They were so, like, such a visceral reaction to them having a period and the idea of getting pregnant. Like, they knew that they didn't want to ever have a baby, but having that bodily autonomy taken away from them was what brought them into my office. Like, they were like, okay, I can, like, get through life and periods, but, like, now that I don't have access to abortions, I need to fix this. I need to get my bodily autonomy back. Again, this is more like my, what I'm getting from talking to the patients. That part has not been actually studied, if we're going to talk about good real data. Right. But what our data did show is that there was 106% increase after the Dobbs decision,
which I think you can assume that that tells us in general that people were clearly very concerned about unplanned pregnancies.
Yes.
And they recognized that there were fewer options here in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. as a result of political interference in our healthcare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, we're even hearing now about attacks on contraception, attacks on medication abortion, which over 60% of abortions these days are medication abortion related. But recently the FDA has submitted a request to review the safety and efficacy data on mifepristone. This is the next step in the big backdoor abortion ban that is happening right now. If mifepristone is removed, is considered unsafe by the FDA, most of the women who seek abortion care in this country won't be able to get it. These abortions that people are getting by mail, which is not my favorite way to offer health care. I like my patients to come to the office and to talk to me and to be truly cared for. But right now, that's the only option, especially for the southeastern part of this country. So mm-hmm. that is, it's really scary. It's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it really highlights the slippery slope that women of reproductive age are facing right now in this country.
Yeah. And this is really heavy, so I'm going to make it light. Do you think that President Trump knows how to pronounce mifepristone?
No. But I'd like to see him try.
or that he knows the difference between mifepristone and misoprostol?
No.
Just throwing that out there.
No. No.
But I'm sure he has a lot of opinions about how we should take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you had a really good point. And
tough it out, Hanks.
Tough it out. Cheers.
Hey, what is the craziest thing? We were just talking about partner stories during the break. I did a delivery recently, and it was beautiful. It was their first baby, and the dad had, talk about a playlist, he had the most amazing playlist. They had been making it their entire pregnancy. We were all loving it. And right as she was crowning, just about to have the baby, I said, we're going to have a baby here in just a few seconds. And he was fumbling with his phone, and all of a sudden, like, the baby's head came out, and I heard, Savinia!
Did you hold the baby up? Did you do it? You have to.
I couldn't because she was on hands and knees, and it was a little too complicated, but it was so awesome. But I bet you have had similar partner experiences.
Yeah. I love the relationship that you get in the room, and just like, it can all be like so beautiful and so messy sometimes. But we were recently, I had a very anxious patient, and we're, you know, during C-sections, patients are awake. And so I really do try to remind people that the, you know, patients can hear. And so I try to throughout say, like, everything's going good. Or, like, if it's not, just be like, you know, we're having a little more bleeding, but this particular C-section was going just fine. And I think there's a funny clip of, I think it was Kristen Bell's husband, talks about walking by to go see the baby. And he's like, don't look right. Don't look right. Cause you're gonna see some stuff. And I had this patient partner who walked by and I just hear him go, there's so much blood. And he comes around her. He's like, honey, there's so much blood. And there wasn't a lot. It was just normal. And I didn't want to, like, you know, minimize it. But I was like, well, we're doing okay. Like, why don't you sit down, sir? Like, if you're feeling lightheaded, that's okay. Like, we're taking good care of both of you.
It's a lot, though. And it is traumatic.
It's traumatic. And I don't mean to, like, play that down because it's, you know, it's our office, right? Like, this is what we're used to, but not everyone is. And so we are respectful of that.
And that's why this conversation is so great, because not everybody gets to have these conversations.
Yeah.
So if you have enjoyed it, friends, please give us a like, subscribe, drop us questions, because we can do this again. My friend, Dr. Laura Hanks, Dr. Hanks at your cervix, thank you for hanging out today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so good to talk to you and to be with like-minded, wonderful humans out there just doing the work.
Doing the work for our patients. Yes, ma'am.
You got it.
All right, friends, if you missed any part of our show, you can catch it wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll see you next time. Dr. Kristen Lierley, out.
If it happens in Wisconsin, you'll hear about it on the station with local news and timeless hits. 97.9 FM, WGBW. In my...
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Indirect talks are set to begin in Egypt tomorrow, centered on the U.S. proposal to free Israeli hostages and end Israel's attacks on Gaza. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the pieces must move quickly.
Already some of the technical talk is happening right now, and our hope is that by the time our team gets to Cairo, 90% of this has been worked out, and we're just sort of finalizing the logistical piece.
It's day five of the government shutdown that shows no signs of ending. A celebration marking the Navy's 250th anniversary is going forward. President Trump is going to attend the event in Norfolk, Virginia. The president's plans to send troops to Portland, Oregon, suffered a setback in court. A federal judge he appointed temporarily blocked the proposal. The Department of Homeland Security says two people were arrested after an incident involving border agents on Chicago's southwest side. One of the two arrested was shot and injured by authorities who said she tried to ram officers with her vehicle. This is ABC News.